So, we think of art simply as something, an object, an image, that is visually pleasing and perhaps beautifully designed, a pleasure to behold. Fluidity, history, form, humanity, detail. But an artist is also reflecting their moment and their world to us. And so it is with two fascinating exhibits that the Allentown Art Museum brings to us this summer. The Allentown Art Museum offers us two highlighted exceptional exhibits now through September the 1st. An Essential Presence, the Petrucci Family Foundation Collection of African American Art, and also presenting Deco After Dark, evening wear from 1920 to 1945. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned into Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Claire McCree, assistant curator at the Allentown Art Museum, and with Beresford Booth, the principal curator of the Petrucci Family Foundation Collection of African American Art. Welcome to you, Claire, and welcome to you, Beresford. Good to see you again. Glad to have you with us on this wonderful summery day.
Thank you very much. You. Thanks, George. Thanks, Kate.
It's great to have you guys here. And it's good that we were talking a little bit before we came on the air, just before we start talking about the two exhibits a little more specifically. Mm-hmm. I do think it's kind of interesting to think if I go to the museum and I'm seeing both of these, there is some sense of the artist as I'm learning something about the moment they're coming from, whether it's the journey of the African-American community through the arts and through American history, mm-hmm. or particularly I was thinking with the women's soccer team victory.
Yes, awesome.
of women and how fashion can be more than, of course, a decorative art, but actually, again, another story of how we live and status and all the rest of it. What has the response been like at the museum? I mean, have people kind of made these connections? Have you been enjoying? What have people been taking away? Do you? I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier about how even design, fashion design, mm-hmm. et cetera, is a growing area within the museum world, something that hadn't really been as prominent before. Claire, could you tell us a little bit about why you think that might be?
Sure. I mean, I think that a lot of people, when they come to an art museum, at times it can be an intimidating experience.
Indeed.
And I think that clothing is something that's easy to relate to in some ways because we're all experts on it. We all wear clothing and, you know, choose clothing for ourselves, think about constructing an identity through clothing. So seeing it in a museum context, in some ways it's very relatable because you can think about your own daily life and, you know, what it would be like to live in a world where these kind of clothes were worn.
It's interesting because Deco After Dark, too, that era, the 20s and 30s, clothing with the influence of the Art Deco design world. Mm-hmm. And we're not only talking about what women's lives changing, but they echo the modern lines, the design, the aerodynamic design of automobiles. I mean, it's interesting how much when you look at the clothing, you can see the moment.
Definitely. Yeah, and I come from a background of design history and thinking about everyday objects and how, you know, we study art as a sign of the times and something that can tell us about a particular moment in history. But really, that's true of the everyday objects around us as well, including clothing. And so there's so much there that tells us about a time period, a culture, social expectations, social divisions and status. All of these things can be wrapped up in clothing. And that's why I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great topic of study and it's a great topic for museum exhibitions.
I think it's exciting too. I saw in the notes for the exhibit that it's true. Evening wear too. Evening wear is sometimes it's where we're a little more playful or it's a little more magical. It's a little mm-hmm. more creative. In some ways, these pieces are also just really beautiful works of art. I mean, the design from the Deco kind of tubular inspiration lines of the 20s and then to that kind of wonderful draping and celebration of the body in the 30s.
Definitely. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. the show is really, very glamorous, very much a feast for the eyes. And I like that you have this kind of dichotomy where you have this really strong visual impact, but then you also have you know, in this time period, the history behind it, the social context where the world is changing so much and you see fashion changing to keep up with the times, to keep up with ideas about social expectations for women, women's behavior, women's bodies. And I think that's a really interesting dichotomy that kind of goes throughout fashion history where, you know, it's not just about the pretty clothes. There's always, you know, kind of a deeper layer of meaning when you really start to look.
And it's also important to remember that, you know, kind of pre-colonial aspect or primal cultures, you know, art was referring to not just ritual practice, but decorative ritual practice. Mm-hmm. So art really defined culture. Mm-hmm. And I think people tend to forget that in our familiarity with clothing. We tend to think that's a more sort of, you know, user-friendly kind of thing. I put my shirt on there, and you don't understand the degree to which artists and art directs you towards participating in a cultural moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is amazing, too, is I can relate to you one very short anecdote, and that is from my mother. I have a picture of her when she was about 26 years old in about 1926, and it was what she saved up enough money to get this, what she called flapper dress.
Mm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was pink with, believe me, rhinestones on it. There were a little mm-hmm. all over the thing, and it swayed and moved. Mm-hmm. And there was not so much the dress, but she remembered later in her life that it was the feeling she got when she put on that dress. It was like turning on a light switch.
It's an awakening
something.
Consciousness.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And it, as Claire said, it's sort of one of the most important steps towards a redefining of female identity in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, it's nice for us to think about it all in positives, but there were negative implications as well, you know, in terms of similar forces we see now that are restrictive and worried about the ability of a woman to express not only her own opinion, but her voice and her aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a threatening thing in some cultures.
Hmm. It's interesting, it bears for truth, in thinking about the Petrucci family collection. Could you, well, I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, that's right.
Could you give us a little of the backstory of the collection, how you've come to be the curator? Because it's an interesting connection. You didn't actually curate the exhibition, you curate the collection.
I have to start with a joke that Halima Taha said at the talk at the Allentown Art Museum, where she pointed out to us that, you know, we have to keep in mind that the etymology of the word curator was someone who cared for the mentally ill. So now you know, it's anyone who sort of makes a cheese board or selects four swatches of cloth at a paint shop, they're all curators. So by that standard, I wouldn't get too excited about being the principal curator, but I am excited about what it's allowed me to do, and that is, In 2012, Jim Petrucci, most of the listeners have seen his signs around. He's industrial, residential, real estate guy, and he's done very well, and he works most of his business in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And Jim has been a friend of mine since he came to my studio when I was about 28 years old. I think it was the first Easton Arts thing that we tried, Arts Walk. And long story short, I let him in my studio. They bought some works, and we just remained friends, largely from his direction. And in 2012, he approached me and said, I'd like to, what do you think about collecting art? And I said, yeah, sure thing. And we started moving hesitantly towards this. I initially refused to do it, actually twice, and the third time around he convinced me, and within a few months we had acquired our first piece and shifted the focus from just collecting art to collecting African-American art. So in 6 years we've collected, amassed somewhere around 310 plus or minus pieces of African-American art. And the great thing about it is, like the Allentown Art Museum, this art is not for private consumption.
Mm.
He's put the money in a foundation that has a long history of supporting underserved, which is such a nice way of saying forgotten communities, in New Jersey. Mm. And he's put up the resources and given me a lot of axial freedom to choose and help coordinate putting this thing together. But it's all for inspiration. That is our key. That's our target, is to put it in communities that surround and support institutions like the Allentown Art Museum, which of course is the jewel of the visual arts here in the Valley. And that allows us to work with them, and in this case, their curator, Elaine Mihalakis, to put together something that I think is visually stunning and amazing to see.
How many pieces are in the Art Museum exhibition right now?
I believe there's 68. I've seen 65 printed, but I think it was 68. But it's wonderful because, again, I was outside of the circle there. It was Elaine and her vision and her team. And I saw it for the third time yesterday after the show opened on June 1st. And I can't express enough how wonderful it is to, well, how wonderful a job they did, and how they really created a situation where the works are sort of like the catalyst. You know, the independent visitor, it becomes the activating agent. And as you move through this exhibition and also the exhibition of the Art Deco fashions, I think one work not only communicates, and, you know, stop me if I'm wrong here, Claire, but it not only communicates with its adjacent dress or image on the wall, but it also acts to prick the brain of the visitor so that, you know, they may be able to look at this dress and see a particular fashion or design and think, oh, I see a repetitive structure in this one, or I see a deviation here. And similarly, in the visual plastic arts in our show, you know, you might find yourself looking at a Charles William image of a black woman from his periodic table of black women who helped the civil rights, and you look at her, and then you shift over and you see the Deborah Priestley, where she's doing her family pickled in jars as a way to talk about how we should preserve the memory, not of just the race, but of our particular corner of race, our families and the histories of those families. So I think the shows are tethered in a way that talks about culture and cultural history and its importance that way.
Have either of you found yourself surprised or seeing the work and the objects in new ways by the way it was curated or hung? Because that is interesting, the way something is selected or what's shown next to each other or how things relate to each other.
Claire?
I think for me, working with the Deco show, one thing that was really interesting was seeing the difference between looking at the dresses in storage, which in these cases are stored in boxes often. We use hanging storage for some of our collection, but for the 20s and 30s dresses, the 20s dresses have beading that is heavy and poses
gravity
a risk.
Will win.
Yeah.
Right. Poses a conservation risk if you leave it hanging too long. And the same 30s dresses, a lot of them are cut on the bias grain of the fabric, so the threads are running diagonally across, and over time they'll stretch lengthwise and become distorted. So so seeing them in boxes flat, it was really hard to get an idea of, you know, what some of these things would look like when they were on a mannequin, you know, looking more like they would have when they were worn. And so there were some dresses that really surprised me that looked kind of unimpressive in the box. And then once you put it on a form, and we were lucky enough to have some forms that are you know, slouching and posing in very natural ways. And so once you had it, you got this really amazing sculptural quality. And, you know, the most unassuming dresses became, you know, very exciting.
Can I point something out that I really wanted to touch on before we go to break? And that is, I'm so pleased, is an overused word, but pleased, and it warms my heart that part of the Allentown Art Museum's mission is to recognize its community. And this is the first time that we've partnered with an institution that has mounted essentially a bilingual exhibition. And so the wall texts and title cards are both in English and Spanish. And not only is this very appropriate to attract the community that's adjacent to the museum, but an essential presence, and the show of Art Deco dress is really, you know, in our case, it's an Afro-global exhibition, so we're really pleased to have works by Native African-Americans, Haitian-born, Jamaican-born, Ghanaian-born, American artists amongst those who are represented. So we really want to encourage people to come and see our little jewel doing a great job at global representation.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that we've been focusing on. All of our major exhibitions have bilingual text, and we've been focusing on finding global connections in our collection and also in the shows that we bring in as well.
Great.
Excellent.
Great. We shall return with more of Deco After Dark and an essential presence at the Allentown Art Museum right after this salient message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Public Radio. And I think what's really important is our discussion with Claire McCree, who is the assistant curator at the Allentown Art Museum, with an exhibition of course, Deco After Dark evening wear from 1920 to 1945. And, of course, with Beresford Booth, the principal curator of the Petrucci Family Foundation Collection of African American Art.
Indeed.
Yes.
I just wanted to throw something out there. I realize and recognize that our listeners are, very much connected to the art scene in the Valley. And I love, one of the things I love about living in the Valley is that all the scenes complement one another. You know, if you're in Easton, you go to Bethlehem. If you're in Bethlehem, you go to Allentown, etc. And I think there is a really nurturing environment for artists here. But I also want to encourage people to come and see this because I want them to be non-Christian, proactively selfish about Pennsylvania and Eastern Pennsylvania, especially. One of the things that I don't think the listeners might know if they're not haven't studied the history of African American art, but first and foremost, it's American art. You know, we tend to think of this as it's black art. Yes, it is black art, but it's black people or American citizens talking about their experiences as people of color in this country. So in that sense, every single piece of work in the collection is speaking to an American experience that you should come and bear witness to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're moving to a point, and this is a point of, there's always been a friction between Native African Americans and West Indians or at Native Africans, and it's something that's gonna resolve itself in time. But now that's changed because now with globalism, with the digital age, content can be exchanged so quickly that the lines are being blurred. And I'd just like to invite the visitors to come and have a look at two of the pieces I want to describe. Obviously, there's nothing to show you here, but back to the idea of being selfish. Philadelphia, is an epicenter, one of the epicenters of African-American art and culture. If you draw a 70-mile radius around Philadelphia, you'd be surprised how many great artists came out of that city. Of course, the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, which graduated the first African-American, Henry Asawa Tanner, who was a colleague and called Thomas Aikens, in my opinion, one of three great American painters, called him a mentor. And also now, most recently, one of the head of the painting department there is a magnificent guy of Haitian origin by the name of Didier William. And he has a piece there which I'd like to quickly try to describe and then pass it over to Claire, but it's called La Croix au Samedi, and it's impossible to really speak about it because it requires the viewer to come close. I'm one of those guys, when I go to the museum, I tend to limit myself to an hour and a half and then I'm out the door, and I also try to get close enough that at least one of the guards comes over to warn me. So get a foot away from it, and it grows to be twice its size. I mean, it's mythical and magic. It's generated through repetitions, two forms, where Didier, in his work, his signature way of doing this is he carves into the surface of the board, he paints it black and then carves in, and there are hundreds of eyes. And you get close enough and you see the ghostly chalk lines of these two bodies sort of interacting, and then it speaks to the effort of the artist to really literally carve out a space that is mesmerizing. You know, when you're looking at it, yesterday when I was close to it, I felt like I was 6 inches above the ground. I mean, it has the ability to generate myth by putting what you know out of context, maybe in like poetry that way. And you feel the push and pull of the surface as all these lines that he's carved out begin to sort of not only sort of move around the bodies, but the mark-making really speaks to a culture that he comes out of, with myth and mysticism. And at the bottom center of the composition by the feet, the lines that he's carved sort of seem to rupture the surface, and it pulls the entire image right in front of you into a hole. it's sort of pulling everything into a hole, almost as if it's going to another dimension. And you're aware that these two brothers are in a particular time, they're in a particular space, they're interacting, they're defined by hundreds of these eyes, they exist in a fleeting moment in time and space, and we get to stand there and witness this literal and metaphorical and transformative power as, you know, belief from the author of the image becomes matter and substance and myth in front of your eyes. That's a mouthful, and I wrote it down because I wanted to speak directly to that. And I just think that oftentimes when you don't feel you know much about art, there's an apprehension. And I blame the art world for most of that. But honestly, the most ideal thing to do is to come into the museum, because it is the keeper of culture. Come into the museum and teach yourself to be vulnerable in front of things you don't understand. Have the docents help you if you're concerned, or ask them to stay away so that you can absorb this and the experience becomes your own and something that you carry forward, just as George carries forward them, you know, the memory of his mother, and just as Claire will speak to, you know, the aesthetics of the dresses now. It's important to realize that in order to really break from the crazy world you live in, you need to go to places like museums. They're not static. There are people there screaming in voices that are relevant today, were relevant 100 years ago, and we will be relevant 100 years from now.
Thank you for that imagery. Absolutely beautiful. And your perception, of course, of race in America. Yes.
Claire would... I think
we're going to describe things for our
listeners.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on what you were saying. That was really beautifully stated. And I think so much people tend to be intimidated by art, but it's so important to remember that everyone's entitled to an opinion on art.
And these
art
are
is
human
really,
voices, right?
Right.
Whether it's a dress or a painting. Mm-hmm.
And that it's really about interpretation and opinions, and that your thoughts are as valid as anyone else's. So coming in and being able to encounter a work of art and, you know, not be afraid of being wrong with what you think about it, I think is really where you start to connect and have that kind of experience.
Yeah, an expression of the human soul by way of the attire is magnificent, especially for women. For men, I'm afraid we've always been rather drab.
Well, speak for your own Western.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, Igungun dancers of Nigeria. We're talking about about the ones who really started the Art Deco.
Yeah.
You know, so these bits of fabric flashing around and being, as Robert Ferris Thompson says, you know, the flash of the spirit. I mean, what are we talking about here? Whether it's dresses or paintings or sculptures or the amazing two pieces by Vanessa German that's in the show, go online, have a look at the museum website. A lot of these works are represented there. But either way, what we're talking about are, as George said, these are, you know, expressions of human spirit. And sometimes in this digital age, we can feel isolated. You know, we have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but we're sitting home alone. Well, get up.
Mm.
Go out. You know, these are people who took the risk to make a dress, took the risk in 19... Now it's cool, but in 1920-something... You were part of the radical, the radical feminist, you know, whatever was going on. But these people who took the chance and the opportunity to wear these garments were making a statement about their presence and what they wanted America to be and what they felt they had a right to express. Right? Am I right, Claire?
Yeah. I think, you know, we don't have the really avant-garde or radical side of things, but it's definitely... The
you don't
garments
think these
are assigned.
Dresses are radical?
I do. I'm on a spectrum of everything that's there in that time
how
period.
How can you look at Sly Stone in the 60s and not think of these dresses with all the dangly bits? And it's awesome. So, yeah.
I think, too, that, I mean, just to go back to, I know we're almost out of time, George's image of his mother moving in those dresses. I mean, I think of movement. I think of people being able to, that flash of spirit, the sense of dance or joy or movement. An experience is its own kind of storytelling that we're sharing as well. I just want to point out, too, real quickly, there's an artist panel coming up on the 14th. I don't want to get away without mentioning.
She's a fantastic friend and an amazing speaker and someone who will not bore you. And she'll be, her work deals with, interestingly enough, African-American agricultural economy. So she goes around America and finding abandoned farms by African-Americans and then takes elements from those farms and casts them in clay. Brilliant stuff. She uses the clothespin as the figure for women and strength. And also William Villalonga, who's represented by the Susan Englert Gallery in Chelsea. He's a brilliant mid-career artist whose work is at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Art. What we're doing here, just because it's Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, doesn't mean that we've settled for less than. You know, what the institution, and I've got to thank, I didn't get a chance to thank a bunch of people earlier, but, you know, David Mickenberg and his vision, the team that he's brought in, and imbued them with the power and the will to put together works of art that aren't just about reflecting on a certain spectrum of art and life and culture. It's much broader, it's much wider. And I think that's the greatest thing about both these exhibitions.
We have been speaking with, of course, Beresford Booth, the principal curator of the Petrucci Family Foundation Collection of African American
Art.
And
an artist.
Who also has a piece in this
the collection.
Exhibit.
That's cool. That's
and, of course, with Claire McCree, the assistant curator of the Allentown Art Museum, whose exhibit, An Essential Presence and Deco After Art, Dark Evening Wear 1920 to 1945, is being offered now through September the 1st. We urge you all to go to the Art Museum and see these magnificent works.
Thanks for bringing us in.
Thank you so much.
Really thanks to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, who has remained in that position despite the verbal rampages and idiocy of yours truly at the end of the program. Thanks, Uncle Stevie.